Father, I thank you that we can look into your word and glean from your word. And I thank you, Father, for these precious people that gather so faithfully and consistently to consider your word and study. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this time that we share here might be enriched by your Spirit, profitable for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your assignment for this Wednesday night, 2 Kings chapters 6 through 10. Please do read ahead and join us as we go through the Word together. I don't know of anything more important for your growth and development spiritually than to have a good handle on what the Word of God says and studying it consistently. Our text today, why sit we here until we die? It has been said that truth is sometimes stranger than fiction. Indeed, in the story that we are looking at in this text, we see a situation where truth is stranger than fiction. In the days of Elisha the prophet, King Ben-Hadad of Syria decided to besiege the city of Samaria. Now, Samaria was the capital city of Israel. The Syrians and the Israelites were continually hassling each other, continually at odds with each other, much like, the Soviets and the Americans are in our day. Ben-Hadad launched an attack against Samaria, the capital city of Israel. He besieged the city. His strategy was very simple. He would surround the city of Samaria with thousands of his troops. By doing that, he would keep out the supplies that would normally be brought into the city, and he would keep in the people that would normally be going out from the city to gather the crops and the supplies for their survival. It was a good strategy, and it was very effective. So effective was it that as they besieged the city week after week, month after month, a great famine arose in the city of Samaria. The famine was so brutal that the word tells us that a donkey's head was selling for 80 pieces of silver. The people were hungry. I really don't know what you can do with a donkey's head besides boil it in water and make soup, or possibly crack open its skull and eat its brains. When I was in Lebanon a couple of years ago, the first day I was there, we sat down to a meal that was fixed for us, and on a platter that was placed before us was a quite tasty but somewhat rubbery type of meat dish. And I began to eat that dish, not the dish itself, but the substance on the dish, and really enjoyed it. I asked for seconds, and as they were dishing up the seconds, I asked the host, "By the way, what is this that you're serving us?" And much to my shock, the host said, "Well, that is cow brains." I immediately had the urge to regurgitate. And having eaten cow brains, I suddenly felt a strange urge to wander out into the field and graze in the grass. I have, against my own knowledge, eaten cow brains. I have never eaten donkey brains. I don't imagine that it would be too much of a delicacy, especially in times of famine. But that's how brutal it was. chopping off the heads of dead donkeys and selling them for 80 pieces of silver. The folks were starving. The text goes on to say that not only was a donkey's head selling for 80 pieces of silver, but a pint of dove's dung was selling for 5 pieces of silver. Now today we go into certain Chinese restaurants and have bird's nest soup. And that also is considered a delicacy, but we are not talking about a delicacy of bird nest soup. We are talking straight dove's dung. 5 pieces of silver. The people were hungry. The king of Israel went cruising through the city of Samaria to view the situation. He was aware that starvation and death were all around him. Suddenly a woman cried out, "Oh, king, help me!" And he turned to her and he said, "How can I help you if God doesn't help you? Do I have wine presses? Do I have barns?" He was saying, "I'm broke. I'm famished myself. What do you want me to do? If God isn't helping you, what do you expect from me?" But then he looked at her and he said, "What aileth thee?" And she said, "This woman, yesterday we made an agreement. We took her son. Pardon me, we took my son, and we boiled my son, and we ate my son. And today we were supposed to take her son, and boil her son, and eat her son. But she has hidden him from me. It is not fair." The king, hearing that his people had actually become cannibals, rent his clothes. And as he rent his clothes, the people saw that underneath his royal robes was sackcloth, that he himself was in a state of mourning and shock. And then he uttered something. "Would God do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha the prophet remains on him at the end of this day?" Interesting. The king of Israel was blaming the prophet of God for the famine, the tragedy, the difficulty. That is often the case. When people hit tough times and difficult days, they have a tendency to blame the Lord or the people of the Lord. Instead of the king humbling himself and repenting from his own sins and calling the nation into a time of prayer, he simply blamed the prophet Elisha and he proclaimed that he was going after his head that day. Possibly today you are in difficult days, tough times. Be careful. Watch out. The tendency can be to blame the Lord, when in reality, so often, the things that we experience are the results of our own foolishness, our own sin, our own carnality. Well, Elisha, in the meantime, was sitting in his house with a group of elders. And by the word of knowledge, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit within him, he said, "In a few minutes, a messenger from the king is going to knock on that door. When he opens the door, let him in and pin him against the wall, because right after him will come that son of a murderer, the king himself." A few minutes later, there was a knock at the door. It was a messenger from the king. They took him and pinned him against the wall, as Elisha had said. And then, shortly after, the king himself entered in. And the king said, "Why should we wait on the Lord with the evil that has surrounded us?" Again, not in humility saying, "I need to seek the Lord," but rather in arrogancy saying, "Why should we even bother with him?" Elisha the prophet then looked at that king who had come to murder him, and said something which is absolutely incredible. He said, "Listen, by this time tomorrow, they shall be selling 4 gallons of barley, 2 gallons of fine flour in the city gate for $1, one shekel. In other words, there's going to be all kinds of food and grains. The king's right-hand man laughed.
How could such a thing be? He said. If God opened the very windows of heaven and poured out, such things could not be.
Elisha looked at that right-hand man of the king and said, Listen, you will see such things happen on the morrow, but you will not eat thereof. You're going to see it happen, but you're not going to taste a bite. Well, meanwhile, as the city was infamished, as the city was starving, as this dialogue was taking place in the house of Elisha the prophet, outside the city gate sat 4 leprous men. Now, according to Leviticus chapter 13, right around verse 45, those who had contracted leprosy were forbidden from coming into the city. They were kept away from all of the populace, lest they contaminate the people with their dreaded disease. The lepers would sit outside the city walls and wait for the people of the city to throw their refuse, their garbage, over the city wall, and they would scrounge through that garbage and stay alive by eating the garbage of the people. Well, the famine was so brutal that the garbage ceased to flow. The lepers were no longer getting anything to eat at all. After all, a donkey's head was selling for 80 pieces of silver, dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. They were getting nothing. Suddenly, these leprous men realized that they were starving and dying and said, Why should we sit here until we die? This makes no sense for us just to sit. If we go into the city against the Levitical law, that will do us no good. They're dying in there as well. If we stay here at the outside of the city, that won't do us any good. We're starving. Let us therefore go into the camp of the Syrians. Possibly they will show mercy to us. If not, they will kill us, and so be it. So these 4 leprous men made the journey across the fields that were surrounding Samaria to where the camps of the Syrian soldiers were. What they didn't realize was that same evening the Lord did a miracle. He caused the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots, of soldiers, of horses. And the Syrians, hearing this huge sound of an army, panicked. And they stood up and they ran for their lives. Nothing will get you to flee like fear. And man, they were afraid. They were running for their lives. I can recall when my boy Peter John was 4 years old. We were down in Southern California and I promised to take him to Disneyland. And all the way while driving there, he said, Daddy, I can't wait to go in the haunted house. We came to Main Street. No, Daddy, let's go to the haunted house. Into Fantasyland. No, Daddy, let's go to the haunted house. Well, finally, we found our way to the haunted house, waited in line for what seemed to be eternity. Finally got into that waiting room where they put you in before you actually get on those little cars that cruise through the ride. While in the waiting room, the room seems to elongate, and a voice comes across the PA system saying, Welcome, ha 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 ha. And Peter heard that voice and saw the room stretch out. His eyes got as big as saucers, and he said, I'm getting out of here. And he turned around, bolted through my legs, ran past the guards, past the ticket guy, and ran all the way down to Main Street, where we found him about 7 hours later. Truly, he ran right out of that ride. He was terrified. He was afraid. fear will get you to run, to flee. Well, these Syrians, hearing the sound of chariots and horses, were terrified. They stood up and they ran, and the Bible says they ran all the way to the Jordan River, which was many miles away, crossed over the Jordan River, and headed back into the territory of Syria. The lepers didn't know this. The Samaritans didn't know this. And as the lepers cruised into the camp, they were shocked to see that the camp had been totally deserted. There were still meals that were cooking in the pots, bread that was left on the tables. And they went from tent to tent, shocked when they saw the abundance of the silver and the gold and the food that was left in each tent. The scriptures say they took the silver and gold and buried it and hid it, and they ate from the table. They went to the next tent, and they took the silver and gold and buried it and ate from the next table. And it would seem as though for several hours they just went from tent to tent, gorging themselves and enriching themselves with silver and with gold. Finally, one of the lepers said, "What we do is not good." The leper said, "This is a day of great glad tidings. We must go back to the city and share the good tidings with the people." Well, they went back to the city. Of course, they were not allowed into the city, so they simply called out to the porter who was standing over the gate. "The Syrian camp is deserted. There's abundance of food for everyone." The porter, hearing the message, went into the king and said, "Your Highness, report has come back that the Syrians have left the camp. There's food, enough for everyone." "Ho-ho," the king said, "those Syrians are sneaky. Don't you know what they're doing? It's an ambush. They've deserted their camp, knowing that we're starving. When we go into the camp, they'll come out and destroy us and annihilate us." "Nevertheless," he said, "maybe we should check it out. There's 5 horses left in the city. Have 5 soldiers mount those 5 horses and scope out the scene." And so 5 soldiers got on the 5 horses that were left alive and rode out to where the Syrians were camping. And sure enough, they discovered the camp was totally empty. Thousands upon thousands upon 10,000s of tents were vacated with food and supplies inside and gold and silver in abundance. The men rode back to the city. They reported to the king. But you know, glad tidings like that cannot be kept quiet for very long. The word got out. Something was happening. Some provision was being discovered. The king, sensing the people were already beginning to stir, turned to his right-hand man and said, You go down to the gate and control the crowd. Monitor the situation." And so, that right-hand man who previously said, "Ha ha, how could this ever happen? If the windows of heaven opened, such a thing could not be." That right-hand man, whom Elisha said, "You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat," went down to the gate, opened up the gates, sought to control the crowd, but the crowd, of course, starving, could not be controlled. And they rushed out of the gate, and they trampled him to death. He saw it, but he never ate of it. The people then had enough food, enough provision to see them through until their crops were restored and their city was once again healthy. An interesting story. A story that is stranger than fiction, but a story that has a couple of applications that I want us to consider today. First of all, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we are sitting instead of stepping and seeking. Maybe you're at a place today where you're just sitting. You feel leprous You feel famished. Our culture has a phrase which I increasingly do not like, and that is, take it easy. Kick back. I believe that the Word of God says to us, take a chance and step out. A.B. Simpson, who was a giant in the faith, said, faith is never learned in comfortable situations. You know where you learn faith? When you're pressed, when you're hurting, when you're starving. That is when you have a choice to make. Either sit there till you die, or you say, it's time to move out and go for it. Faith. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Faith. The evidence of things hoped for, or pardon me, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. These lepers had the faith to step out, to take a chance. And perhaps some in this amphitheater today are feeling as though you're dying on the vine, you're drying up. I would encourage you not to take it easy, not to kick back, but to take a chance and to step out in faith. Get going. Do something. Why do you sit there until you die? Relationally, why are you sitting there while your relationship is dying? Get going and do something. Vocationally, why do you sit there until you die? Step out and see what the Lord will do. In ministry, why do you sit there until you die? Take a chance. Begin to exercise the faith that God has given to you. Begin to utilize the gifts which He has embedded within you. Get going and see what the Lord will do. Faith. It is the key to seeing things happen. A little faith will get you to heaven. But a larger degree of faith will get heaven to you. Faith moves mountains. Take a step. Secondly, there is also those who, having stepped out in faith, have found abundance. And I think this applies to us all to some degree. We have eaten abundantly, as the lepers did. We have been enriched spiritually with silver and gold from the Word of God, from the things of the Holy Ghost. But listen, it is not good that we should gorge ourselves on more and more of the gospel while there is a world that is starving and dying. Christians, could I share my heart here? I think it is a grief to the Lord that we as American Christians have become connoisseurs of fine sermons. We analyze Bible studies. We discuss doctrines. We critique churches. We are gorging ourselves from table to table. We are blessing boppers. Going from this seminar to that meeting, we are tapeworms listening to this tape and the other, trying to find more and more for ourselves. How we can be happier, how we can be richer, how we can be more blessed while there's a world that is dying of starvation. They do not know the simple plan of salvation. Such things ought not to be. It is not good that we should sit and go from table to table, plumping up our spirits, becoming spiritual, obese people, while there is hurting neighbors and relatives and friends and countries. May the Lord speak to us that we would come to our senses as did those lepers and say, it's not good. I need to take the eyes off myself and quit worrying about feeding myself and finding more for myself and reach out to those that are dying. Did you know people are going to hell today in Medford? In Grants Pass? People are dying today. And we are worried about how we can be more blessed and more enriched. These things are not right. Gospel. The first two letters of gospel are go. Jesus said, go into all the world. As you're going to the world, preach the gospel. Share the gospel. We're not only to be reflectors of the Lord's love, we're to be radiators, releasers of the Lord's word and truth. Are you witnessing? Are you sharing? Or are you simply saying, how can I feed myself some more? There are those who, like the king's right-hand man, really don't believe what they are hearing. God is saying, I want to bless you. God is saying, I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life freely. I want to forgive all of your sins. I want to work a wonder. Oh, well, you say, I don't know about that. How can these things be? Listen, you'll see it. But you won't taste of it if you retain that state of mind. Lazarus and the rich man, we are told by Jesus Christ, both found themselves in eternity together. Only a great gulf separated them. Lazarus, who was a beggar in life, was in Abraham's bosom, or paradise. The rich man was in the place of torment, Hades. And he said, Lazarus, come over here and dip your finger in the water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. The rich man, at that point, saw the reality of paradise, but never tasted of it. There are some who are sitting here right now who have sensed, even in this rain shower, the reality of God's blessing and love, the worship, the word, that God loves you and cares for you and says, come and dine. And you say, well, I see it, but I don't really believe it. You are missing out on what God has for you. May today be the day when you say, yeah, I will believe what the Lord says. What does He say? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead, and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Eat. Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open the door, I'll come into you and sup with you if you'll open the door. Well, I have much more to say, but it seems as though the Lord might be telling me to silence. And so let's go ahead and bow our heads together, shall we? I trust, Lord, that this story from your word, with all of its powerful implications and convicting applications, might really be remembered by each one of us. I pray in the name of Jesus for those who are just sitting. Lord Jesus, may they not sit until they die. May we be motivated to move out in faith, to do the things that your word has said, to go for it. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice and respond. Help us, Lord, to step out of the boat like Peter did and walk on the water. Stir us up, Lord. I pray as a congregation you'd help us corporately to be a people of faith, not just sitting until we die, but preaching and praying, building and proclaiming, reaching out. Father, forgive us and protect us from being those who simply gorge ourselves on more and more spiritual truth. Lord, you have fed us. You have done so much for us. Motivate us as a people right now to be an army, to go share the glad tidings, the truth of the riches that you have for all people if they will simply come. And Lord, should there be one or two or 10 or 15 or more that are sitting here that are seeing but really not believing, that are skeptical, Lord, may this be the day when they open up their heart and life to You and not doubt. Give them the eyes of faith to believe in You, to embrace You, to respond to You. May they be born again today. For those Christians, Lord, for those of us who see what Your Word says but don't believe it, who hear the Word but don't practice it, who know the principles but don't apply it, Lord, may we not be trampled under by life as well. But may we, Lord, instead repent of that and be doers of the Word and practicers of the principles which You've given to us. And so, Lord, I pray You would take this teaching and use it. And thank You, Lord, for being a God who miraculously provides and so beautifully guides. We love You and appreciate You. In Jesus' name.